My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like for the sermon this morning to combine both the Feast of the Transfiguration and the event related on this feast, as well as the Epistle and Gospel for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, it is interesting that the Gospel of the Transfiguration is read every year on the second Sunday of Lent. But there also is a separate feast day on August 6th to call to mind this tremendous event in which our Lord took three chosen apostles, Peter, James, and John, with him, went up onto a high mountain, which we believe is Mount Tabor, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun. His garments were white as snow. And there was the voice of God that spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So this was the one occasion where our Lord allowed his divinity, we could say, to shine forth, and that only to three chosen apostles to whom he told and instructed, "Don't tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." If you were alive 2,000 years ago and lived in the Holy Land and had the privilege of seeing our Lord, he would have looked as other men. There would not have been a glow with our Lord wherever he went. Yes, there was a great dignity in his features, but he looked as other men do. And it's only on this occasion that he allowed his divinity, you might say he pulled back the veil just a little bit to allow these three apostles to see his glory and majesty. Our Lord, in this regard, we could say, gives us an example of humility. We have today on the 10th Sunday after Pentecost the gospel of the story of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. And even though we have heard that so many times every year on this Sunday, and we reflect upon that gospel, still, we ought to reflect upon it today, and especially on the absolute necessity of the virtue of humility. Humility is the foundation of the spiritual life. And we could have a lot of virtues, but if we don't have humility, those virtues are a sham. They're not meritorious. As it says in the epistle for today, that we cannot even say the Lord Jesus, the name of Jesus, meritoriously, without the Holy Ghost, without the grace of God helping us. Because of ourselves, we are nothing. The only thing we have, which is our own, would be the sins we have committed. Nothing to be proud of. Anything of good, whether it be in the temporal order of intelligence and ability, such as to play a musical instrument or a talent in some sort, physical features, etc. Anything we have, whether in the natural level or on the supernatural level, virtues, etc., is only by the grace of Almighty God. And to him is the credit. So what then is humility? It has often been said that humility is truth. Humility is an acknowledgement of the source of the good things we have, which is Almighty God, giving him the credit, not taking credit to ourselves for what really is the gift of Almighty God. I want to give you a few quotations from Scripture, which is filled with quotations on the danger of pride, the importance and necessity of humility. The first one is advice from Tobias to his son, who was also named Tobias. And he said, "Never suffer pride to reign in thy mind or in thy words, for from it all perdition took its beginning." This one from the book of Ecclesiasticus: "Pride is the beginning of all sin. He that holdeth it shall be filled with maledictions, and it shall ruin him in the end." And my third quote from the book of Proverbs: "Every proud man is an abomination to the Lord." And as I said, these quotes could be multiplied numerous quotes in Scripture, reminding us of how God detests pride and he loves humility. What did our Lord say at the conclusion of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? He said, this man, referring to the publican, left the temple justified rather than the other. For he who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The publican was there striking his breast. He didn't even want to lift up his eyes in the temple. And he kept saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that prayer was pleasing to God. He might have had more sins to have forgiven, but he had deep contrition and humility. The Pharisee, on the other hand, stood in the temple praising himself. Dear God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I fast. I tithe. I do this. I do that. I do everything in the law. He was so conceited and filled with a sense of his own excellence. And his prayer was offensive to Almighty God and rejected. Let us then imitate our Lord. As I mentioned at the Transfiguration, he showed a glimpse of his majesty and divinity, but that was it. Throughout his public life, he hid himself. Very often you read where our Lord worked a miracle and then told the recipient, don't tell anyone. And they published it anyway. When they came to take him and make him a king, he fled up into the mountain alone. He always avoided public acclaim except on Palm Sunday, when it was the will of his Father that he be acknowledged as the Messiah before his passion and death. Our Lord, even more than that, gives us an example in the tabernacle. You look at the sacred host, and you do not see the body and blood of Christ, even though that is what it is. You see the appearances of bread and wine. St. Thomas Aquinas puts it so beautifully in the hymn Adoro Te Devote. It says, on the cross, his divinity lay hid. And here in the sacrament, even his humanity is hidden. So our Lord there gives us an example. Now we read the lives of the saints, and we're amazed at how much they accomplished. As I mentioned, this Wednesday is the feast of St. John Marie Vianney. And on one occasion, there was a woman who was possessed, who was being exorcised. And the devil spoke through this woman and said to St. John Vianney, if there were two more priests like you, my entire kingdom would be ruined. St. John Marie Vianney, because of his holiness, was responsible, or I should say was used as an instrument by Almighty God for the salvation and the conversion of many, many souls. But he, in his own mind, was nothing. He had this deep humility. And all the saints did, and that's why they were able to accomplish great things, because they put their trust in God and thought of themselves as nothing. There's a very interesting story in this regard in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Now, you know that after Moses led the chosen people to the promised land, he died, and then they were led into the promised land by his successor, Joshua. And after Joshua had conquered the nations there and settled the chosen people in the land that God gave them, after his death, they were not governed by a king. They would be governed on occasion by these men named judges. And the judges, again, were not kings. They were raised up on a particular occasion to defend the people. And so this man named Gideon was one of these judges, and we read in chapter 7, 6 and 7, in the book of Judges about what he accomplished. He was commanded by God to gather an army and to conquer the Midianites. Now, the Midianites was this tribe, this nation that was giving a lot of problems to the Israelites, and so Gideon gathered an army, and he had 32,000 men, But he was going up to an army at least twice that size. But what did God say to him? In effect, he said, "You have too many men." Listen to the words of God to Gideon. "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many soldiers with you for me to deliver Midian into their power, lest Israel vaunt itself against me and say, my own power brought me the victory. Now proclaim to all the soldiers, if anyone is afraid or fearful, let him leave.' When Gideon put them to this test on the mountain, 22,000 of the soldiers left, but 10,000 remained." He's going up into an army with many tens of thousands of soldiers, and now he has just 10,000 left. But God said, "That's still too many." "The Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many soldiers. Lead them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. If I tell you that a certain man is to go with you, he must go with you. But no one is to go if I tell you he must not.'" So they went down to the water, and they were instructed to drink from the water. And according to the manner in which they drank the water, that is how he divided them, and he took only 300 soldiers. Now, you might think this is going to be impossible, but they went to the camp of the enemy. He divided them into three companies, and they were on the outskirts of the camp at three different points, and they had horns, and they're blowing on their trumpets. And this is in the middle of the night, and they had torches and shouting and blowing on these horns. And the Midianites were confused in the middle of the night, and they're running here and there, terrified by the sound of the trumpets, thinking there was an enormous army surrounding them. And it says that the Lord turned their swords against one another. They actually killed one another. There's a great victory. But again, the moral of the story, the lesson, is that God told Gideon, "I don't want you to have a lot of people, because then they'll be proud and think that they gained the victory, that it wasn't from me." So he took just 300 men. And God accomplishes great things, as he did by the saints. He accomplishes great things through those who are humble. St. Paul said, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." So we need this virtue. And we have to be on our guard against pride, because it is so subtle. Sometimes we can be unaware that we're motivated by pride. It's a very subtle fault, and we must be on our guard against it. And let us remember the concluding words of today's gospel especially. "Whoever exalts himself shall be humble, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted by Almighty God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.